Way TV Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATB Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army, so we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits. Are you a writer, or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org. Hello, Bride. We would like to invite you to BrideFest 2015 at the Cornfield Revival Center in Columbia, Kentucky. Listen, this is a prophetic wedding between you and the Lord, where you commit your life 100% to the Lord, my body, mind, and soul. It's where you say your vows to the Lord that you will give Him everything just like He gave everything. And in this, you will be walking with other brides, men and women, people of like faith that are making a full commitment to the Lord. It's kind of like a purity ball, but this is a prophetic statement to the Lord that you are with Him till the very end, till death brings us together. So this one is going to be on Saturday, June the 6th, and it is at 3 p.m., and the Cornfield Revival Center is actually hosting a reception following. So go on our website at www.wearethebride.us/BrideFest. Okay, I look forward to seeing you there. Also, on our website, go to WATV-registration and register if your ministry would like to be highlighted on the broadcast, because we highlight ministries all over the world. It is our honor. We are all here to serve the King, and we're all on a mission from God. So we want to tell the world, what is your story? And then you have free reign to preach to the bride. Okay, so go on the website and register for that. Also, if you would like to subscribe on the website, you can be notified every time we book a speaker. And then when we do newsletters, you'll be notified about that as well. Now, also on our website, we do need donations to keep this radio station going, so there's a place on there for you to donate. Also, if you're interested in being a host or hostess for WATB Radio, we are accepting applications on the website. So far, I think we have about 6, and we need 4 more. We need 10 hostesses. Also, we're looking for intercessors. People that will intercede. We need people that are web designers, people that are graphic designers. So just go on our website and register there. Now, thank you for tuning in to WATB Radio. God bless you.
Hello, good evening. What a day to serve the Lord. Listen, we have so many exciting things happening at WATB Radio. This may be the last time you hear my voice for a while. God is moving and expanding the ministry. Listen, WATB Radio was never about me. It's about the bride. So God is growing it, and now we have a director. And we have, this gentleman will be in charge of all of our hosts. So tonight we are very honored to have two hosts on the broadcast with us. We have Miss Jessica McKay, and then we have Miss Sharon Davis. And me and Miss Sharon is actually going to do a show on Miss Jessica, because Jessica is going to be a host, and you need to get to know her. So I'm going to read a little bit about Miss Jessica. Jessica McKay is in Chicago, Illinois. She flows in the apostolic mantle. She has been flowing in signs and wonders for 10 years. The atmosphere of glory and revival is her heart's cry. To see the body activated and moving in destiny, power, and authority, there is a prophetic sound that is released in her worship and an eagerness to impart the revelation of intimacy and oneness with the Father. She is a fire starter and revivalist moving in the power and authority of Jesus Christ. Hello, Miss Jessica. How you doing?
Hi there. I'm good. I'm doing really good. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. And also, we'd like to say hi to Miss Sharon. How you doing, Miss Sharon?
I'm doing great, especially being on here with you two.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. Now, listen, Miss Jessica, I know we have had you on the broadcast actually twice before, listeners. If you was not able to listen before, you need to go listen to it. One of them is where we had the Revival Hotspots in America broadcast, and I think we had 10 different speakers on that broadcast. You need to listen to that one. And then we did one on her ministry along with Brian Christian. They partnered together, so you can go listen to that about her ministry. But listen, Miss Jessica, I really want the bride to get to know who you are. So if you don't mind just being transparent with the bride and telling us, what is your story? What brought you from there to here?
Amen. Well, I'm a youngin'. My birthday is this week. I'll be 27. In my 27 short years, I've accumulated a lot of testimony regarding the hand of God in my life. It seemed as if from day one, since I entered this earth, even as a child, as a small child, there was just always opportunity for God to show up. I was targeted at a very young age. I experienced the heavy opposition. I felt like, God had a plan for me, but the enemy did too. And so as a young child, I was always harassed. I was kidnapped almost, I think, like twice. I was abused. I was rejected. I was neglected. I was thrown in the pit. And it started as young as I can actually remember. I grew up in a home where I was hated. I grew up with alcoholic parents. And there was a lot of anger in my family. There was a lot of anger. There was a lot of woundedness. There was a lot of abuse. And so that's kind of how I grew up. And in return, I began to survive. And my survival was I surrounded myself with people around me, and I was always the jokester, and I was always the one having fun. And then when I was old enough to start making my own decisions, I just started to go out and party. And, I started getting into some pretty heavy drugs. And at that point, God had already placed so many people around me to show me who He was. I always had one family, I always had one friend that were Christian, and they would always see the kind of situation I was in. They would see my family. They would see how I was being treated in my house, and they would always take me under their wing, and they would bring me to their church, and I never understood anything. I would go and sit in these churches, and, you know, they would preach the gospel. They talk about the cross. They talk about the blood, and I couldn't comprehend it. There was nothing that really clicked, you know.
Yeah.
And it was all going over my head, and I was like, oh, that was great, you know. And I leave, and I wouldn't be changed. But this one day, I was about 16 years old, the climax in my family's division had kind of happened at that point, and we had been taken out of the house by social services. We had been, you know, it was just not healthy.
Yeah.
And so it was wearing and tearing on me, and my coping mechanism was to go release and have fun with my friends. I didn't do well in school. Most of the time, I wouldn't sleep at night because my mom and dad would be drunk and fighting, and windows would be busting out the wall, and tables would be flying, and we'd be getting beat. And so I would go out and party, and I began to encounter some pretty hard drugs, and I actually overdosed. And so I was at a college party on Halloween, and I did a little bit too much of everything that night. And I remember I was with my sister at the time, and I just said, you know, I'm really not okay. And I began to throw up blood, and I said, you guys, I'm really not okay. And so they left me in the car because they didn't want me to get them busted. They're like, we're going inside to the college, and they left me in the car because they didn't want to get in trouble. And so I'm sitting in the car, blacking out. I'm tasting blood in my mouth. I can feel, you know, my eyes are rolling in the back of my head. I'm like, this isn't good. And so I started crying out for help. And anybody that walked by, I was begging people, someone call 911, I'm not okay. And so someone eventually did. I went in the back of the ambulance, and I thought I was going to die. And my mom and dad ended up showing up. And the people, because I wasn't of age yet, and I was still coherent by the grace of God, I was still able to function. I don't know how I was able to function. And I still remember it, oddly enough. But my mom and dad showed up. The paramedics said, we need to take her to the hospital. We have to pump her stomach. And they looked at the paramedics dead in the face and said, let her die. If she wants to do this, let her die. And they walked away. And so here I am sitting in the ambulance.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, well, what am I going to do? You know, and they're pushing on my stomach, trying to get me to throw up. They can't legally administer anything to me because I'm not legal yet, and my parents were right there. And they were refusing for me to be cared for. So I was in this place
where
I said,
your parents was?
Yeah. My parents thought, yeah, that's how I was raised. I mean, I was,
that's
it was
so
like,
sad.
Yeah. So I prayed to God, and I said, Lord, if you let me live, I promise you that I'll serve you. And somehow, I don't know how, but I got out of that ambulance okay. I was puking up blood. I was, you know, I was just not okay. And the ambulance, the paramedics had kept me in there for quite some time. I fully don't remember everything, and my mom just doesn't talk about it.
Yeah.
So from what I know, I was in there for a while, and they just kept pushing on my stomach. They kept trying to get me to throw up and get it out of my system, you know. And then they finally released me. I went home. And then about 3 months later, the Lord had sent somebody into my life, and they would bring me to church 7 days a week. But they didn't bring me to the normal churches. They would bring me to the spirit-filled churches where the Spirit of God was moving, and the people were moving in power, and the people were moving in authority. And I was encountering God in a sense where I was becoming hungry, but I still didn't really know him. That longing inside of me was being created. And so all of those times I had gone to church, it was creating something in me. I was getting excited about it. I wasn't feeling awkward. I wasn't feeling out of place anymore. But I necessarily didn't want to partake in it, if that makes sense. And so one day, it was about 6 months after that incident when I was in the ambulance. I was driving down in my city in the summer one night with a friend, and I remember they had like all these statues everywhere, and we saw this group of people around this statue, and my friend was like, let's go pray with them. And I was like, well, how do you know they're praying to God? And so we got out, and you know, we're like, well, let's just go ask him. And my friend was so zealous, you know, they were so zealous for God. They just wanted to do anything and everything and every opportunity that came in front of them to minister or to worship the Lord. They were on it. And so they just put me in their pocket and took me everywhere they went. And so that's kind of how I got encountered God. And we went and we were driving around, and I see this statue, and you know, we're thinking, oh, let's go pray with them. And then they started doing like this weird cultish-like thing, and it just kind of creeped me out. And I was like, I'm not praying with them. And then I went back to the car, and my heart literally broke, and it shattered into a million pieces at the thought of somebody worshiping somebody other than Jesus. And I was like, I need to pray right now. And so I was 16 years old at the time. I said, I need to pray right now. And so I took my friend, and we pulled the car over. We went into a park, and I gave my life to the Lord that moment. And that night, I got taken to a glory meeting. I got prophesied over. My eyes got opened to the supernatural realm. I began to see angels. I began to hear in the spirit. I sang in tongues for the first time. All on the same day that I got saved. And so that kind of started me off in my supernatural walk with God, and it never stopped after that. But that's kind of how I came to know the Lord.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so amazing.
Yeah.
It's an amazing story. And Jessica, I know you from being in Father of Glory Encounters with you and ministering together with you. And I just want to say right here that God has restored and healed you. There is a purity and an innocence in your eyes, in your face, in your voice, that everything that happened to you, God has used for good to bring you to the point where you are today. Can you tell us a little bit about your personal ministry?
Well, last year, the Lord told me to start a ministry, and it's called Kingdom Keys. The name is very symbolic in the sense that I feel that this ministry is actually being used to unlock people. And I feel that this ministry is a mandate from God to go out into the nations and unlock destiny into people and unlock identity into people and unlock restoration in their lives. And I feel like this ministry, we were partnering with Father of Glory, and the two ministries together is really the fulfillment of the vision that God gave me. By myself, the ministry stands alone, and it does an okay job, but when the two ministries came together, that's when I really began to see the fulfillment, and I began to see the manifestation of God's promise regarding the destiny that he spoke over this ministry. And it's all about intimacy, and it's all about oneness with the Father and relationship and vulnerability and just walking up with people arm in arm, hand in hand. And Kingdom Keys is a place I feel that we're in the season right now where the people, there's been a spiritual holocaust. And I feel that the gas chambers have been turned off. People have been sitting in gas chambers, being gassed with lies and gassed with, you know, these false identities that these religious mindsets have instilled into people. And I feel like the spiritual holocaust is finally coming to an end, and
yes.
God is releasing the end time revivalists into the land
yes.
to go out
yes.
and fulfill the destiny of America, to go
Come
out
on
and fulfill
now.
The destiny of the nation.
Yes,
know,
Lord.
And
yes.
so I believe 100% that I am confident that what God spoke regarding this ministry will come to pass, because this definitely was not my idea. I don't think like this. I don't think like this at all. It's definitely God's idea, and I know that He is faithful to finish what He started. And God has placed
yes.
a seed inside
yes.
of me that just continues to grow. And the more that I connect with the body of Christ, the more that we build relationship with these people
yes,
that are
Lord.
So broken. They're so broken, and they're just in shambles, in a sense. They've been lied to over and over again by the thoughts
mm-hmm.
in their head. They've been lied to over and over
mm-hmm.
again by a religious structure. They've been lied to over and over again by their circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like God is saying, you know, through this ministry, through a mandate from heaven, He's released it on the earth, and He's saying, now is the time for restoration. Now is the time I'm giving you the keys to unlock people into their God-given destiny, into their
yeah.
God-given
oh.
purpose,
Woo-hoo.
Into their God-given identity. And so I get really fired up about that. I get excited.
Yes, Lord.
Well, Jessica, you bring life into relationship. And I can hear that in your voice as you're talking about this ministry. It may have been God's idea, but He's planted the passion in your heart. And we just are so thankful for that and praise the Lord for that. Okay, you got 5 minutes to speak to the bride in America. What will you say to her?
I actually, just on my ministry page today, I was really getting a prompting in the spirit about people hiding behind these, you know, 12-inch thick metal bolted doors. And they're trying to sit here and have conversations with these doors in front of them. And they're trying to interact with people. And there's these walls and there's these doors
wow.
in front of them.
Yes.
And I feel like right now in this season, for the body of Christ, I feel like God is saying it is so imperative to lock arms. It is so imperative to trust. It is so imperative to build relationship and to be transparent, because when God sends those people in your life that you know that you're destined to walk with, you can rationalize and use logic to rationalize them right out of your life, in a sense. You know,
mm-hmm.
we use our woundedness, we use our thought process, we use
right.
our own barriers to push people out. And I feel like in this season, God is saying, trust me, trust that I've ordered your steps, trust that I've
Amen.
Put the people in front of you that I want in front of you, trust
Amen.
That I've given you a spirit of discernment, that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Trust that I work
Amen.
All things together for your good. Trust me. And when you trust me, you're going to begin to trust others. And as you begin to trust others, as that mandate that He said, that He's releasing the keys to unlock destiny and identity into His church, into His bride, this is it. This is the time. But that can only happen when we tear down these walls and when we let people in these doors that we've placed
Amen.
In as, and we disguise it as wisdom, and we disguise it as boundaries. But ultimately, it's us locking ourselves in a dark room and we're not letting light in. And
yes.
we don't let the light in, there's nothing that can penetrate it. So we have to open ourselves up so that we can be healed. I was talking with Brian Christian's wife the other night, and she said, when you position yourself for truth, you will be healed. And this is the truth in this season. You know, I feel
yes.
like maybe a few years back, this wasn't it. because the church was not in a place where they could walk out this revelation. But I feel that he has raised up and he has trained a few by fire. He's trained
Amen.
A few by, you know, going through the trenches and really walking through things and overcoming and conquering. And he's raising up those people to go and pioneer and lead the way in relationship. Because
yes.
we can have a relationship with God, but if we can't have a relationship with the body, who are we? You know? So
yes.
I really feel like that's the highlight, definitely the highlight. And that's one of the things that is God's even highlighting in the ministry as we partner with Father of Glory as well, that if we do it on our own, we're still going to accomplish great things. But there's almost a deception in saying that if we go out by ourselves, we're fulfilling God's purpose. But ultimately, somebody else is carrying the other half. And that's what we need to come to realize, that
wow,
we don't
that
have
is
it all.
Down.
Yes.
We don't have it all. You know,
yeah,
somebody,
amen.
We all work in part, and we
yeah.
all prophesy in part, and we are
yeah.
living and walking and breathing the testimony of Jesus, which is the spirit of prophecy. And so
yeah.
we are a prophecy fulfilled in this season. We are
yeah.
walking
Ooh.
Out the fulfillment of a prophecy. And so it's so important that if we know that we all prophesy in part, that we get with our other part, that
exactly.
we get with the other parts of the body, and we become
Amen.
The fulfillment of prophecy. Amen?
Well,
Amen.
Let me share something about the radio station and that we're revealing to the bride is that every one of us have a mission. So, like, if you take Father of Glory, Kingdom Keys, and We Are the Bride, you think about what God has each of us focusing on. Okay, Father of Glory is focusing on training, discipling, helping people to understand their prophetic calling, love and acceptance. All the people that feel pushed down and hurt by the churches are very loved and accepted in there. They're allowed
mm-hmm.
to go on the wall. They're allowed to prophesy to each other, to encourage one another. Brian, I know he won't mind me sharing this, but I had a vision about him one day, and I wrote him on Facebook. I said, "Brother, I had a vision about you this morning." Now, this is like how his heart is. I saw in his backyard there was these little bitty chicks running around, like little chickens.
No.
They was running around his backyard like, you know, not guided, like running around and misled and, you know, just like they're really hurt and crazy. And then he walked out his backyard and he drew a circle of fire. And then the chicks just like got up, they became mighty, they walked in the middle of that circle, they got in the middle of that fire, and
Ooh.
Then when they got in the fire, he reached down and he picked up the chicks. He picked them up in his arms, and I saw it was like a big, you know, like he had a big bucket. But they was all full of chicks, and all the chicks was just looking at him chirping, and they were so happy. And I told him, I said, "Brian, that's what I saw." And he said, "Man, does that read me like a book?" Because he's
yeah.
like a father to these.
He is, yeah.
These people that have been hurt. So anyways, God has him a specific mission. Okay, then we got Miss Jessica. Okay, what Jessica's been to, Jessica now has a revelation of identity and who we really are, which is through the Kingdom Keys. So God is using her to tell people, to waken them up. She has all these followers, like 2,000-something followers, and all these people are learning about their identity, and they're partnering with Brian. But each one of them have a specific thing. Well, then here we are with We Are the Bride, and then the way God raises up this ministry to give them a voice, to put them out there and say, "Hey, get on the radio, tell the world what it is God has done in you." Everybody rally around you. So it's like God's having everybody do a specific thing, but it's all the same thing. It's all identity. It's all
mm-hmm.
giving these people a voice, letting them know to march forth in the bride. You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
Yep, absolutely.
And God blending the hearts.
Yes. Yep. The time is now. The time is now to go forth. Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
Well, I want to say this. I want to offer you the opportunity if you have a word for the bride. But I want to say this. The tragedy that you've been through in your childhood, I know there's probably some women listening right now that can probably identify with some of that suffering. So if you don't mind, before we go any further, and then after this we're going to take a quick little commercial break, but if you could just pray for some woman out there that has been through what you have been through, that maybe hope deferred makes the heart sick, it's a scripture I'm hearing, and maybe she's hurting, and she would love to be in the spot that you're in the victory that God has, you know, set you in. So if you don't mind just praying for that person.
Sure. Lord, I just come to you right now, and I just lift up every single broken and wounded soul and spirit, Lord. I ask that you would bring restoration to the minds of those that have become weary. I ask that you would bring restoration to those that have been captive by their circumstances.
Yes,
I ask,
Lord,
God, that you would just completely infiltrate them with your spirit and with strength, Father. I ask that you would release a divine strategy into these people's lives to move forward in victory, to move forward in power, to move forward in authority, Father, and in identity.
Yes.
I pray that you would encounter your people, Father, in the night hours and dreams and visions, Lord.
Yes.
I ask you, God, that you would align them and divinely place them with those that you have called them to walk with in this season,
yes,
Father.
Yes, Lord.
And I pray, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, that you would break the chains, break the shackles by accepting,
yes,
the truth, Father, that the truth would completely hover over them, that the truth would completely penetrate them, Lord, that it would become who they are, the truth of what you have spoken over them, not what their circumstances have said, not what their past has said, not what their relationships have said, not what their failures have said, Father, but what you have said. And I just decree destiny over every single person listening to this broadcast right now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I just speak forth destiny. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Okay, well, hold just a moment, and we're going to take a quick little commercial break. And when we come back, anything that's on your heart to share with the bride, you're more than welcome. Reflecting your vision properly through the web? Do you have a website and maximizing on social media platform? Now listen, your online presence is as vital as your personal presence. Visions Communication can help you achieve that vision. We will take your vision and creatively express it to the world. We will partner with you today to reach your perfect target audience, which is souls. Contact us today at www.govisions.us and present your vision to the world in the best way. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, listen, Miss Jessica, whatever that the Lord has given you for the bride today, if it's just reading some of your Facebook posts, because I know for myself, I've been really blessed by your post, and I'm sure Miss Sharon has too. Just the wisdom that God has given someone at your age is just pretty amazing. So do you have anything for the bride today?
Sure. I always got something. God is good. He never sleeps nor slumbers.
Amen.
He's always talking.
There's a few things that I had some phone calls today even, and it just seems this repetitive theme about people are in the fire. I've been encountering, you know, people are calling me saying, you know, this is going on, and people are either around somebody in the fire or they're in the fire.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, I don't know how to help this person, or I myself just don't know how to walk through this. And I feel like, in the American church, I just love Brian Christian so much. He's so wise. I just sit at his feet and like, feed me. I'm one of his little chickens.
Amen. Amen.
He's actually been teaching me about this as well, because when you walk through the fire, sometimes you have no understanding of what you're walking through. When you walk through the trials and you walk through the suffering, my whole life was fire. My whole life was trial after trial, you know, season of suffering back to back with another season of suffering. I would get, you know, I'd come up and gasp for air, and then I'd go right back down in the pit again. And I became resentful, in a sense, towards God and towards those that prospered, because I had no revelation of suffering. I had no revelation of the process. I had no revelation that my destiny required testing. My destiny required trials. My destiny required crushing. It required pressure. I had no revelation, and I was never taught. I went through a season in my life where I was sick. I almost died 3 times, and nobody understood it. And nobody, I had gotten prayer for 5 years, and I never got healed. And people said, oh, there's sin in your life, you know. And I had no revelation that my destiny was my end result of all of my suffering. I thought that my suffering was my end result. And then all of a sudden, something shifted. When I came into relationship with somebody that was going to walk with me and walk in the process with me and help me understand my process, and when I say came in relationship, I don't mean a personal relationship. I mean the body of Christ. When the body of Christ came alongside me and I had a head-on collision with my divine relationship that God has positioned me to be with, all of a sudden, I began to realize that everything I went through was for the sole purpose of destiny. It was for the sole purpose of walking in authority. Jesus said that we can do even greater things than he did.
Yes! Amen, sister. I'm rooting you on. I agree 100%. Bam! Come on now. Dave, you're telling the truth, people. Are y'all hearing this? This girl is giving you a kingdom key. I'm telling you, sister, I almost want you to repeat that. Please, repeat that.
I don't know if I could.
Seriously, that is like a golden jewel. You don't know how many pastors I talk to and revivalists that are in the pit. This is profound. Please release that word again.
Yes, it's all about getting a revelation of your suffering, getting a revelation of your process. And there's one thing that the Lord always, I always look at someone's walk with God as an actual marathon race. And when you're in a marathon race, there's checkpoints. And you're going to be walking and running, and you're going to be racing with people that are at different levels. And you might be on the same path, but there's different checkpoints. And when you get to a certain checkpoint, you need to realize, even when you minister to people, even when you encounter people, say, where are they in their path of destiny?
Wow.
And kneel down and give them something to drink. Kneel down and give them something to eat.
Yeah, come on now.
But meet them where they're at in their walk. Not everybody, and that's kind of where I encounter. I see people even in my ministry. I see them all running on the same path. I see them on this path of destiny, but some are just starting out. Some are more progressive. Some are more, you know, have been running the race for a long time. But it doesn't change the circumstance that the fire is going to stop.
That's
right. It doesn't change the circumstance that, you know, the farther you get into your path of destiny, that everything just becomes a bed of roses.
Yeah.
In fact, it begins, for a season, it almost seems as if it's the opposite. And so,
let me stop and interrupt and say something, please. To all of you people out there that are suffering, all of you that are in the ministry, yes, the Lord knows you're suffering. And I believe that He judges those ministers that talk about people in their suffering, that don't support the people in their suffering. They don't, they put them down because of their suffering. You know, instead of saying, listen, brother, you can do this, hold on, you're just in the middle of your process, you're going to make it. It's going, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I can tell you the story of how I've been pushed down by ministers and made fun of, and like God give me a car, a really old car, like a 1992, I'm still driving it, but, you know, with over 200,000 miles, and I actually had a minister tell me, don't you know how other ministers make fun of you because of the car you drive? And then I tell them, well, please tell them to talk to God about it because He gave it to me. And I'm very happy with the car. I mean, I didn't have a car for months. You know, but that's what I mean. That, to me, that's a stench in God's heart because He's got us in trials because He's purging us. He's squeezing our heart. He's cleaning out roots and burning and sifting and shaking, and we have to go through that, especially when you're going to go in ministry.
Yes.
But yes, go ahead, sister. I'm with you.
Yeah, it's all about, you know, when God said, or when Peter said, I'm all things to all people, I really feel like being all things to all people is discernment. It's knowing where people are at on their path of destiny. I believe that really strongly in my heart that when you're encountering destiny, everyone around you encounters destiny.
Amen. Yes. Come on.
It's the inevitable.
Woo, girl, you are on fire tonight. Preach that word. You are firing me up over here in Nashville. Now listen, y'all, I'm in Nashville, she's in Illinois, and Sharon's in Indiana. So we're burning up the United States tonight.
We are.
So go ahead, sister, come on, throw out them kingdom keys. I'm loving this.
I get really fired up about seeing people succeed, and the only way that happens is when you stop sitting on them and give them a hand. And, you know, just like I just said, when you encounter destiny, everyone around you encounters destiny.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden, the face of God is not hidden anymore. The hand of God is not hidden anymore.
Amen.
People's faith all of a sudden becomes alive. And even if they're jealous, even if they don't understand it, they can't deny that God is real. They can't deny that God blesses those that persevere. They can't deny that God blesses the person that perseveres until the very end.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And,
Amen.
You know, their crown is on their head. And the people around you, whether they're saved or not, I mean, even now, my mom, my father, my family came against me. I was being harassed. I was being abused. I was, you know, I was neglected on some of the deepest levels, you know, and God refused, God didn't refuse. Sorry, let me reword that. What I'll say is God blocked me in. God blocked me in. He blocked every avenue where the people on the outside mocking me could not partake in my blessing.
Wow.
And they had to sit there, and I was homeless for a while. I was I had to sit there and pray, and God said, you know, your gifts make room for you. And so that's what happened. God would begin to send businessmen to me, and they would be, you know, commodity traders. They would begin to ask me about stock market. They would begin to ask me about trades. I would go to the Lord and seek the Lord regarding their business ventures, and obviously, whatever God spoke to me, I would reveal to them. They would begin to make thousands and thousands of dollars of profit. And
thank
so that's
you,
how I made money. And my family couldn't comprehend what I was doing. They didn't understand how I had clothes for my daughter. They didn't understand how I had gas in my car. They didn't understand how I had a phone. They didn't understand that when I went into houses, they said, no, you're a servant of the Lord. You won't pay rent here. And they didn't understand that.
Yeah.
And when I would reach out to my family for help, they would say no. When I would reach out to my quote-unquote friends, they would say no. But now I persevered and I persevered, and I felt rejected in that time, and I felt hurt, and I felt betrayed, and I didn't understand. And that's my passion and desire, is to help people understand the process. Because
yes.
if you can understand
yes.
the process, you no longer resist the process, but you flow in the process, and there's a crazy acceleration that happens when you flow with it and you stop resisting. When you surrender to your process, there's an acceleration in the spiritual realm that happens.
Yes.
And it's simultaneous.
Thank you. Come on
everything
now.
Everything around you simultaneously comes into alignment when you surrender
yes.
to the process of God's
yes.
will in your life.
Yes. Amen.
When you surrender to that process of humility, when you surrender to that process of saying, it is no longer I that lives, but Christ in me. And you can say, I can't do
Amen.
This. And you've come to the end of yourself. You've come to the end of your resources. You've come to the end of your man-pleasing spirit. You've come to the
come
end
on
of
now.
You've come to the end of, you know, watering down the gospel to please somebody because you have a need, and the only way you're going to get it is because somebody has it and they have to give it to you.
Yes,
and that's
yes.
God is
oh, man.
And that's what God is going to break. He's going to break those mindsets when you surrender
yes.
to the process and you say, it's no longer I who lives, but Christ in me. And my
yes.
God is my salvation. My God is my provider. My God is my
yes.
healer.
Yes.
Yes.
And
yes.
that's what he wants to say to his people, is that he is God.
Yes.
He is sovereign. And if you surrender to his hand in your life, There is a substantial alignment that happens. There's an acceleration. And think the kingdom of God and earth, the kingdom of heaven and earth meet and collide at that moment when you raise your hands and say, God, have your way.
Yes. Now, Jessica, I'm going to tell you this. We've had this program going. It's been 5 months now. I can't believe it. I just give you praise, Lord. But you are the first one, and we give all of our ministers free rein, you know, to preach whatever it is that the Holy Ghost gives them. And y'all will notice this as host on this program. The Holy
mm-hmm.
Ghost builds precept upon precept. It's the
mm-hmm.
most beautiful thing. How, I mean, if people would just go back and listen to the archives from day one, you would be like, oh, my Lord. It's like God just sitting down at a table and talking to the bride. It really is. He
yeah.
everything is built. There's been not been any person that I can think of that was just out of the box and did not follow the Holy Ghost all the way down the line. So now God has brought all of us to this point. First of all, what the Holy Ghost has been saying over the past 5 months is there is judgment coming to the church because of, you know, how they've done the bride and the bride being in caves and, you know, the people that were gifted and stuff, you know, being pushed down, stifled and whatnot. So that's, but it's a good thing because it's purging them and drawing them back to repentance and bringing people back to where we're supposed
right.
to be. All right, so that's happening. And then there's been many that have spoken about, you know, the judgment coming to America, but the Christians are going to be fine, but it's just a burning and sifting that he's got to do because of the harvest. And then just all this other stuff. Okay, so here we are. We have had all these ministers on this broadcast. I've heard their cry where they are like, you know, Lord, these churches, they just keep swapping up ministers that they're friends with, and they don't allow any fresh voices in their churches anymore. You know, so you got all these evangelists out here, these revivalists that are sitting there with no assignments
mm-hmm.
because the churches have gotten stale, basically. And so here you are now, and you're saying, all right, people, You are in the process. Trust God in the process. You are the first one that I know of that has spoke on the process. This is so vital for the bride to hear right now because there's so many of them out there hurting. There's so many. I was in intercession the other night just weeping about it, thinking about all these people out there that are hurting. And you're telling them, listen, when you surrender and let God do all the burning, shaking, and sifting, that it actually accelerates it once you surrender. And I'm going to tell you this for myself, for 2 years of the process, it took me probably a good 4 or 5 months to finally surrender because I fought him so hard. I was suffering so bad. I was like, God, please ease my suffering. I kept saying that. Please stop this. Ease my suffering. And then finally I caught on to what he was doing. And then I'm like, yes, Lord. All right. Here we go. And I've learned that every place he sent me, homeless or not, I cannot leave that assignment that God sent me to until he releases me. And he's taught me that for the future, you know, that we have to stick with our assignment until he releases, no matter what suffering's there. You know, that's the process.
Yeah. When you get thrown in that pit, there's no way to get out until there's a hand that reaches to you and pulls you up.
It
hurts. Until that hand comes, you're stuck.
It hurts.
Yes.
It hurts really bad.
It really hurts
when people in the church stomp on it while you're there. That hurts.
Yeah.
I was speaking with one of my admins, one of my dearest friends, Amber, and she was making me laugh so hard. She was sitting there talking about some stuff that she was going through, and she said, you know, I don't know, I just feel a lot of warfare. And I was like, you know, that's one thing that, you know, I'm not really too fond of. I don't teach warfare mentality. We're ruling and reigning. And so I'm like, you know, we don't have to sit here and fight devils. Usually if there's warfare, there's resistance on your part, you know. And so she's like, well, actually, I think God was just trying to heal me, and I kept fighting him, so that was my warfare, because everything around her went haywire. Everything around her went chaotic until she surrendered. When she surrendered, there was complete peace that came upon her. And it was no longer warfare mentality, but surrender.
Yes. Wow.
So that's around you, think about it.
that's working with the process, so that's part of the process. The more we learn to surrender quicker when the fire comes, then the shorter the fire is going to be.
Amen.
But Jessica, why do you think these churches are teaching people that suffering is of the devil? I've heard them say it like that. They tell them, if you're suffering, then you're sinning.
Yep.
And that's hurting the pride telling them that.
Yep. Well, I think in one of the broadcasts, I did speak about the ministry of the Ascended Lifestyle. And
yes, you did, yes.
And quite frankly, the Pharisees led Jesus to the cross. And Jesus chose to die. He chose to die. He chose to surrender. But the Pharisees got him there. And so the church is full of a bunch of Pharisees right now. And they're helping us get to the cross. They're helping us get to the cross. Praise God, everyone serves their purpose. And there's a lot of people in the church that are leading us to our cross right now. And there's a lot of the religious mindset. And, you know, I say thank God for them, because if it was easy, I don't know if people would ever get to their knees. And people are finally coming to the point, you know, it's been pretty open in the past year or two. There's been a big shift in the mindset of the people. Like, wait a minute, this isn't working anymore. This is not very effective. You know, I think 5-10 years ago, people would have gasped for air if someone said that. But, you know, at this point in time, people are crying out for the more. You know, and the Pharisees are up on the pulpit. And the Pharisees are the ones up there trying to get people set free. I don't know what they're trying to do, but... You know, it's that pharisaical spirit. But you know what? At the end of the day, it's getting the remnant to the cross. It's getting the remnant to die so that they can ascend. so that just like Jesus said, we will do even greater works than him. That is what everyone is holding their purpose. God is positioning and aligning the people right where they need to be. And if we look at it from a place of destiny and surrender and not from warfare mentality, we can say, you know what? This person has no revelation of the image of the Father right now. And technically,
right.
They're in a sense, they're a Pharisee. They're helping me get to my cross. And we can say, you know what, brother? I love you. Thank you. God bless you. You just blessed me. I just died a little bit. you just helped me a little bit further in my process. Because the more they resist, the more that that religious mindset, that religious spirit comes against us, it causes us to surrender to the Lord more and more and more. And I'm not by any means saying that what it is right. And I'm not by any means saying that, you know, that we should just accept this. But what I am saying is that God is sovereign, and God will use every single thing to get us to him.
That's seeing God's goodness in all circumstances.
Yeah.
And his goodness, he's always good. Always good.
Yes, he is. And so when you begin to surrender to the hand of God in your life, no matter what comes against you, you always come up higher.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what tries to kill you, you never die. And so it's the people that come against you, even in the church, you know, when you begin to encounter the supernatural, when you begin to see supernatural provision in your life, when you say, I have a vision, and it's not to sit in a pew at a church and people get offended, then you are all of a sudden becoming Jesus to somebody. You're all of a sudden becoming prophecy fulfilled to somebody. You're already becoming a door for somebody to enter in their destiny. You're already becoming the image of the Father so that they can encounter him and figure out their identity when you walk in that. And so,
well, I tell you what I've noticed lately is I was just telling the Lord this yesterday. I said, Lord, I'm actually seeing revival with my own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone around me is being changed. Everyone around me is the hunger. Not everyone, but, you know, the majority of the ones, the hunger is just increasing. I mean, they're praying a lot more. They're just so hungry. I'm like, wow, I'm seeing the revival, because we all know all the prophecies have said this revival is not going to look like anyone we've ever seen before. And it's going to be individual in the hearts of the people. God raising his bride back up, making people more hungry, bringing them back to him, not in one building or through one big super personality, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we just have to keep our eyes open to see the beauty of his holiness and to see what he's really doing. You know, so that we don't miss it because we have expectations of what it should be or what we think it should be.
Deal. Yeah.
Okay, before we get off here, we are at the end of our broadcast. We are going to bless you and bless your ministry and bless you as a host on WATB Radio. And for you, Miss Sharon, I'm actually going to include you on this as well, being that I have both of you on here together. And so let's just go ahead. And all of the bride that's listening, please come in agreement with us right now and lift up your hands and help us to rally around these sisters in Christ right now. So, Lord, we just come before you tonight, Lord. We, again, thanking you so much for the honor to be on the airwaves, to share your glory, to share what you're doing, and to share the lives of the people that you're changing through this girl, Miss Jessica. Lord, we thank you for everything that you've done, Lord. And she made such a vital point, that, Lord, that she realized, she finally came to the place where she said, Lord, I realize all of the suffering that I've been through was meant for my destiny. That is wisdom beyond her years. Wisdom. And I thank you for that, God, that she has had that revelation that the glory of the Lord will come out of that suffering and will help the other people, Lord. And I thank you, Father God, for allowing her to be on the broadcast of WATB Radio. For both of these ladies, her and Miss Sharon, to be on this radio, to get to meet these other ministers across the world and to hear their hearts and what you're doing in your bride in other places and how everyone has a purpose, Lord, and for them being able to connect and them being able to bless others and being able to impart into others and to be able to pray and to have the bride rally around other people, Lord. We're laying down our lives for the bride, laying down our lives for other people, Lord, preferring others above ourselves, Lord.
Yes.
And we thank you and give you praise for sending them here, Lord. So for Miss Jessica, I speak blessings, Lord. I pray you send forth a host of angels to her, a host of angels to help her in her children, to help her in her ministry, to help her personally as a woman, to help her download all the tools and strategies that she's going to need to accomplish the mission that you have called her to on this earth, Lord.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You, Father God, expanding her borders, increasing the prophetic, increasing her finances, increasing the glory, Lord. Increasing her understanding of who you are, God. I thank you, Father God, for giving her. I just pray, Lord, that you give her very unusual gifts. I'm feeling this in the spirit. I just thank you, Lord, giving her very unusual gifts. And I thank you for that, God, just showing her just how beautiful she is to you, Lord.
Yes.
I just thank you for that, God. And, Lord, we pray, we lift up her arms right now, Lord, as the bride. We say, go forth, sister, marching in the army of the living God with all the tools and strategies and the army behind you saying, go, Jessica, you can do this. We are with you in the spirit. And we thank you, Father God, for rising her up and for keeping her. Rising her up and keeping her for such a time as this. This mighty woman of God, we declare healing in her body. We declare in her children healing, Lord. We declare the fullness of the glory, Lord, the fullness of the presence in the home, increasing the dreams, Lord, increasing the visions, Lord. Thank you, Father God, for clarity of mind, Lord. We pray right now, Lord, a shield of protection around her home. We plead the blood of Jesus over her home, Lord. Have angels encamp about that place, Lord. We speak protection on our sister, Lord, hidden in the cross, Lord. Hidden in your glory, Lord, so that she can do what you have called her to do, Lord. I pray you open up the platform for her voice, the wisdom that she has to impart into the bride, Lord. Open up the platform for that voice to be out there, Lord. Send her laborers, people, Lord, that will help her, Lord. People that will hold her for arms, intercessors, people that will pray for her, Lord. People that will help her to accomplish this mission, Lord. Laying down our life for each other, Lord, will turn around and send other people to us, Lord. We thank you, Father God, reaping and sowing concept. So, Lord, we thank you and give you praise for her life and being a part of WATB Radio. The same for Miss Sharon. Lord, we pray blessings upon her being on this broadcast, Lord, being a hostess on this broadcast. We pray, God, you give her divine appointments, Lord. Just increasing the joy is what I see on you, sister. I see in the very short days to come, your days of joy in your home are just, I see you like running around there like a little kid. Just so happy, just so joyful, like just overflowing joy. And I thank you for that, God. And I pray, Lord, that for her, I pray you give her increasing of affirmation, increasing of people that would recognize the love and the beauty on her, that would recognize the gifts, Lord, and that they would speak encouragements into her, Lord. She is an encourager to the bride. I pray you encourage her back in Jesus' name.
Thank you,
Lord, I pray
Lord.
You people to hold up her arms, Lord. People that would intercede and rally around her, Lord. People that would say, go, Sharon. Be in the army of the living God, doing what God has called you to do. You were born for such a time as this. I thank you, Lord, that around my sisters that no weapon formed against them shall prosper, God, and all them that rise up against them shall fall, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that your word is a lamp unto our feet, Lord, and a light unto our path, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that when the Spirit of the Lord is, there is victory, Lord. We declare victory in all of our lives, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for the honor of being the last great generation, Lord. We are living out Acts, the last book of Acts, Lord. And we we thank you for that, God. We give you glory and honor tonight. And, Lord, us three women pray for anyone that's listening to this broadcast right now that they would rise up. Take their destiny, take your place in the army, in the kingdom, and rise up and do the destiny that God has called you to do, dropping all of your past, dropping anything that is holding you back. This is not the time to be playing around. This is not the time to be playing around. If you got a calling, you lay it down and you obey everything that God tells you to do, and that's what Miss Jessica told you tonight. She told you. Yes. Once you obey the Lord, he is your provider. Don't listen to the devil that says, oh, my Lord, if I obey the Lord, I'm going to lose it all. I can't do that. I got this and I got that. That is your natural mind. Drop that natural mind. Amen. Obeying God is where your wealth is. And I thank you, Lord. I give you praise, Lord, for strength upon the bride, Lord, that they would realize they each have a mission. Every one of them are special. And every one of them are unique. There's no place in the bride for jealousy. There's no place in the bride for people thinking that they're better than any other person. Every person has a mission and a destiny and a book that was written about their lives before time began. Yeah. All we have to do is release that tree, release that temple to the Lord and say, Lord, you can have this book. Finish it the way that you want to finish it. And, Lord, for any of the persecuted churches listening right now, listen, I was praying with a church in Pakistan the other day, and I told them this. It does not matter if you got 5 minutes left, 5 years, 50 years. If you're not living that to the fullness of destiny that God has called you to, you will answer for that. Now, listen, I've prayed for many people on their deathbed. And there's many people that have been in comas, and I told them, you can surrender your temple as long as you have breath. You surrender that to the Lord. That's the point. It doesn't matter when or the time. Time is nothing when it comes to kingdom matters. Right, Miss Jessica? Yeah, time is nothing. Just surrender that temple. Surrender it to him and let him do what he's going to do, no matter what time you have left. Amen. Does anybody else want to add anything?
Amen. I think you covered it, Jim.
Sorry about that. I got a little
powerful. Powerful. That's wonderful.
Amen. That's good. That was a flow right there. That's good.
Because of you, woman, you got me all fired up. Got me all fired up, Nashville.
I'm excited, June, when we can meet together and minister together sometime soon. That'll be great.
Oh, man, when I found out how you are in worship, I thought, Lord, please give me this woman. Because let me tell you, I am a worshiper to no end. I was at the Apostolic Conference down there in Florida, and this African couple come up to me at the end of the eight-day conference, and they said, you are a prophet. I said, yeah, how you know? You know, just joking with them. They said, we can tell how you worship that you're an intercessor. I said, yes, I am. So definitely I would be so honored to have you doing the worship, man. I can just imagine where that service would go. They're so blessed to have you.
I would love to. I would love to.
Yes, me too.
Pray it in. Pray it in.
Well, I'm traveling to Indiana the end of June. I'm doing like a nationwide tour kind of, and the end of June I'm going through Indiana up to Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, so, really?
Yes.
Okay. Me and Sharon are going to be in California together.
Right. Right.
well, maybe when I get done, we can all hook up. I'll be done probably June the 5th. I mean, July the 5th or 6th.
Yes.
That would work.
Yes.
That would be
listen,
great.
Oh, my Lord. With
that would
the
be
opportunities
great.
That God is bringing to the bride right now, because people are just so hungry. And I want to share this, too. Well, I watched the videos. Listen, people, what happened in Chicago at their last conference was amazing. When Kingdom Keys partnered with Father of Glory Ministries and held a conference. And it was, we had them on the broadcast to talk about it. But listen, I watched the video of where they showed some of the intercession. And I know some of the people out in the world wouldn't understand it because it is very deep, but to somebody that is an intercessor and understands about birthing and travailing and, you know, people getting inner healing and all that kind of stuff, man, y'all blew it out. The Holy Ghost blew it out at that meeting. So I'm so excited to hear that now y'all are going all over the nation. Y'all have actually titled it Mobile Hotspots. And that's mm-hmm. where you're going to be holding revival services all over the nation. I mean,
mm-hmm.
that's just
yes.
We
amazing.
Have a we have a conference set up in Opala, Florida, for October. Actually, the 16th through the 18th, where everything's already set. We got location set. Everything's done. So we're headed over to Florida in October. We have a couple other conferences lined up. From now until then, Brian's on the move. He's booked up pretty much.
Now, are they open to the public, your conferences?
Yes, the one in Florida is definitely open. This one, the one that we're going to in California, me and Sharon, that is just for all of our leaders to get together.
Yeah.
We're going to go to California and go spend some time together. But there's definitely going to be some more conferences in between. And so if you guys are interested, definitely get connected on Kingdom Keys or Father of Glory. And, you know, we'll definitely be letting you guys
absolutely.
Know all that info as well.
Absolutely.
Well, let me
yeah.
say this. On the I meant to say this earlier in the broadcast. WATB Radio now has a new website called www.watbradio.com. On the website, each of the hosts will have their own page, and we will have links to their own ministries so that these ministries that check them out all over the world can find out who these people are and realize, listen, this WATB Radio, this is actually like just a combination of a bunch of ministries coming together and helping the bride. And so it's a way for the bride to check out these ministries. So we will post it up there, the links. We'll have Miss Jessica. She'll have her own email, and so will Miss Sharon. And so will Brian. You know, he's one of the hosts. So you'll be able to check that out on the website by the time this is aired. So, all right, sisters, well, y'all have a wonderful evening, and God bless you.
Bless
you,
too.
Thank you.
We love you.
All right, love y'all, too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.